Western Conference Final now tied one apiece as they head to Vegas. Eastern Conference Final tonight resumes in Washington. The Capitals try to take a 3-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Welcome back. Hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis. And Mitch Gallo is back after 9 days at sea. Let's go to Washington.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm good. How's Mitch Gallo doing?
Doing very well. Thanks, Pierre.
Now, where were you at sea? Mitch Melnick's telling us you were at sea. Where were you?
So we did Bermuda, Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and Haiti.
I bet you gained weight.
That's the first thing Rod said when he saw me, actually.
He looks good. He looks very healthy. He attended, actually, a wedding on the cruise ship.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's a great idea. That's really cool.
You ever been on a cruise? Have you done a cruise? Yeah?
Yeah. You know what? When I coached Hartford, our team and the Tampa Bay Lightning actually went on a cruise together. And you know who was playing for Tampa Bay at that time? Mark Bergevin. He was on that cruise.
Wait a minute. You guys did it.
Yeah. No,
you just opened up.
Fans. It was for ticket holders. And stuff.
You just opened up a giant can of clams here, Pierre. Come on.
Why? Why? That was back in the early. That was 25 years ago.
But what was that about? What, two teams taking a cruise?
Well, no, it was after. It was like in the summer, and it was basically for season ticket holders. They do a lot of that. You know those news programs that you like to watch? Those people that are the hosts of those shows, they do cruises.
No, I know. And Turner Classic Movies, Robert Osborne, who passed away
stuff.
In the last year, so they used to do that. And a lot of music cruises.
I was hanging out with Terry Crisp and Wayne Cashman on that cruise. It was good.
How many days?
I think we were only five or seven.
Seven. So about a week on the water with Wayne Cashman and Terry Crisp and Pierre Maguire, how many beers were consumed?
I don't know. Cash wasn't drinking then.
Cashman wasn't
Honestly.
Drinking. Okay.
No, Cash wasn't drinking. I promise. He was not. He was not. But all good stories, though. Crispy had great stories. So
all right. I want to hear some of these stories.
I'm not going to tell you on the radio, you mean.
Well,
yeah.
I mean when we next see each other.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I'll tell the stories on the air. I'll clean them up.
All right. Of course you will.
Pierre, let's start with Jonathan Marchessault. So those words there, I mean, that seems to have been the mantra all year out of Vegas, right? The misfits, the cast-offs and all of that. And they're still emphasizing that. But, man, the bottom line, and we just spoke with Mark Crawford, your old pal, said he recognized early on how talented this group was, as you did. How does a guy like Marchessault move around like he did without even being drafted, and then teams had a chance to keep him and they didn't keep him? And like, how does this happen?
Ineptness. Seriously. Faulty reads, internal faulty reads. That's how it happens. Listen, Marcus Nasmyth got traded out of Pittsburgh because they didn't think he was going to be tough enough to play in the league for Alex Stoyanov. I mean, it's a faulty read. All the people that went to bat for Marcus his draft year moved on. I went to Hartford. Scotty Bowman went to Detroit. Barry Smith went to Detroit. So all the people that stood up for him, they moved on, and so that happens from time to time. The frustrating thing, do you know how many times I've told you, if you have a team in a hockey market, so if you're Boston, you'd be an expert in the Boston colleges and the Boston prep schools. If you're Montreal, you'd be an expert in the Quebec Major Junior League, you'd be an expert in Eastern Ontario Hockey League, and you better make sure that there are no kids sneaking by you that are undrafted players. That can't happen.
Well, I think
so here's
finally
a guy that played 4 years, 4 years for Quebec Ramparts. 4 years.
Right.
Go check his numbers. His last 2 years, I think he scored 70 goals his last 2 years combined.
And of course, it's more acute here in Quebec because of his background. There's only one team in Quebec. So that's a valid point. But the fact is the entire league missed him as well. But
The Rangers are the ones. The Rangers butchered it probably as well or more than anybody because he played for their farm team in Hartford. And I used to see those games. So, I mean, the fact that he's scoring the way he is, it's not surprising if you watch him practice because the shot is so lethal. What's amazing is he's not an overly large person, so there's a little Cam Atkinson in there just dying to come out, and it is. But it's amazing how he can go swing with big defensemen and beat them. And he's fast. He's fast, but he's not like super lightning quick, one of the fastest guys in the league. And he makes stuff happen.
And he pushes back.
Oh, you talk about, here's a guy that's going to carry a chip on his shoulders even if he wins the cup, because one cup's not enough for him. I spent a ton of time yesterday with George McPhee, and you know that Vegas doesn't have a captain, right? You know that? So everybody's like, well, who do you think the captain should be? Marchessault keeps telling him, I should be the captain. And he doesn't mean that in a braggadocious way at all. He goes, I want to prove to people that I can be the captain. So he's saying it in a very positive, not arrogant or brash way, but he's had to live with that chip on his shoulder for a very long time. And I think he's done it unbelievably well. I had such a nice chat with him post-game last night on the ice. I love the intensity in the player. Just love the intensity.
Pierre, I love what you said about Quebec, and I agree with you in that. It's been a sore point for a lot of us over the years, but finally it appears that they're addressing it, right? By hiring Dominic Ducharme, it appears we're waiting on Joël Bouchard, who just met the media today, and he said in light of all of the rumors about him joining the Canadiens in one form or another, that this is not the Joël Bouchard show here. He's talking about his team that was just eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah. It appears that they're heading into some kind of association at some point. So that would go a long way towards making sure that this kind of stuff doesn't happen again.
I'll just use the term that I used in my interview, and I've used it for years with you on the air. Be an expert in your own area. I'll take you back to the draft where Benoit Pouliot, and no, this is not a knock on Benoit at all, but at the time he merited it. He was playing for the Sudbury Wolves. He went fourth overall to the Minnesota Wild. I believe at 24 was TJ Oshie from War Road, Minnesota. I believe at 26 or 28, I'm just going cold here, so I know those numbers are pretty close, Matt Niskanen from Virginia, Minnesota. You can't make it up. If you're an expert in your area, you're not losing one of those players, let alone two, and they've never played in your market.
That's what Boston seems to be doing, right?
That's what Boston did for years under Harry. Harry Sinden, Nate Greenberg, Stevie Lyons, Joe Lyons, Bart Bradley, all those scouts for Boston, they deserve so much credit. They identified the prep school guys before anybody else. So they were in on that market. So they get a Stephen Hines. They find players like Donnie Sweeney, who played at Harvard. They're on all those players in Boston. They find them and they get them and they cultivate them. You know, and that's what if your area is a hockey area, and I told this to Mr. Molson, I told him this, Serge Savard was in the meeting. You got to be an expert in your own area. And if you're not an expert in your own area, you're going to lose a ton of players because you're spreading yourself out too thin.
Do scouts then often serve as like a lobbyist for a player that they like, Pierre? I mean, Mitch asked you about Marchessault, and you responded with the Naslund story, and kind of his lawyers, his lobbyists left the franchise. So is that kind of how it works? They're like your client in a way?
Yeah, I love the way you just said. Some people call them your godfather. Other people would call them your rabbi. Yeah, no, exactly. You got to look after your people. You know, that's just the way it is. So you develop. There's a reason why you develop relationships with players when you're scouting them. You like their character, you like their skill, you like the way they carry themselves, you like their professionalism, or there are other ones where you don't like them, and there's a reason why. Maybe they're not hard enough. Maybe they're not skilled enough. So you look at all these things over time, and that's how you break it down. But yeah, absolutely. You got to have people that look after you in an organization. And if you don't, it's not going to work out.
Well, I mean, you look at it, right? And the best players on the ice last night, Marchessault, so he has the Gallant connection. Clearly, Gallant went to bat with him. The second best player on the ice was probably Riley Smith, also a Panther who Gallant would be familiar with.
Yep.
And then the best
defenseman
was Nate Schmidt, who George McPhee was familiar with.
Yeah. So here's the other one. Here, and I brought this up on our broadcast last night. So this is not a slam fest on Montreal. I already talked to you about Minnesota and not drafting Niskanen or Oshie. How about this one? This is crazy stuff. Nate Schmidt played high school hockey in St. Cloud, Minnesota. A lot of scouts go through St. Cloud, trust me. Ryan Poehling, your first-round pick from 2 years ago, is from St. Cloud State. So tons of scouts go through there all the time. All right? I'm just telling you, that kid played 3 years at the University of Minnesota. He was an All-American there. He played big-time high school hockey. Not one NHL team drafted him. You don't think he could help a bunch of teams now? That kid should have been drafted. And there are a lot of people that said it at the time, but nobody did. It's crazy stuff. You can't make it up.
When you got goaltending and defensemen, then your depth plays huge dividends for you, and that's probably the pièce de résistance for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Is they have, for me, they've got 8 guys that can play in a top 6 forward role, and they probably got 10 guys that can play in a bottom 6 forward role, and they're all capable. So all in all, you look at it, it's easy from hindsight, but having that depth, I knew that they would be pretty good.
There's a part of Mark Crawford, our conversation with him between 4:30 and 5. All right, so we got a series. Mission accomplished. They got one of the games in Winnipeg. They're going home. It's going to be nuts again in Vegas. Before we finish up where you are tonight, how do you see the rest of the series moving forward here?
Well, what they did last night, and we're talking about Vegas, and I agree with everything Mark Crawford said there. That was well said, but that's just coach talk. You know, he's talking about numbers, not giving you players because he doesn't want to get in any tampering trouble, but he handled that properly. The big thing is that they dictated something that they weren't able to do in the first game, and that was control the neutral zone. It didn't start that way, though, Mitch. The first 7 to 10 minutes, Fleury had to come up large, and on our show, we showed all the different neutral zone variations Winnipeg was presenting offensively that were problematic for the defense of Vegas. And then something flicked. I don't know if it was Girard getting mad at him. I don't know if it was Ryan McGill, who coaches the defenseman. But then they went into more of a contain mode, lock the middle down kind of defense. So they started to dictate the terms in the neutral zone, and that's when their counterattack game started to kick in. And that's when they really started to dominate at certain aspects. I mean, there was a 4 or 5 minute period there where that wasn't even close. Now, the rest of the game was closer, but the 4 or 5 minutes that I'm alluding to, that wasn't even close. I mean, if it was a track meet, the team from Vegas was winning hands down through that 4 or 5 minute period. But that was a thing that I think if they can continue to establish that from the Vegas point of view, they're going to have success in the series. Doesn't mean they'll win, but they'll have success. If Winnipeg can find a way to play the first part of game number 3 the way they played the first part of 1 and the first part of 2, then I think Vegas can have a problem.
Well, he's obviously he's having fun. He's producing. He's all in. You know, we've asked our group to, you know, if you're going to have success, you have to have all in. You know, all in. Contributions, and he has.
There's Barry Trotz and Ovechkin, who not only is performing well, he seems to be enjoying himself for good reason. This is Tampa Bay season here tonight, Pierre. Is there anything you can tell us from a lineup standpoint, anything different that John Cooper may do or what?
I'm kind of waiting to watch the pregame skate, well, the warm-up, I should say. I flew in here from Winnipeg today. I didn't get here till around 1:30 or 2 o'clock this afternoon, so I came straight to the rink. Adam Ernie's one guy maybe they could put in. Speaking of at Quebec Ramparts, he's a Quebec Rampart alum, kid from New Haven, Connecticut, chose a junior route rather than the college route. He put up some really nice numbers in junior. He's a big guy. He can really skate. I think they need more of a skating lineup here. We'll see. This is a tall order. You know, I think I want to get this right, but I'm pretty sure it's right, Mitch. Our 91 Penguin team is the last team that came from behind down 0-2 in a conference final. And I know what took place to get our team through that, and it was all about the leadership in the room and guys challenging one another. Tampa's going to have to almost resort to that. That's where the value of a 4-time Stanley Cup winner like Kunitz comes in. That's where the value of a former New York Ranger captain comes in McDonough. This is where you need your winning guys that have been through, you know, trips to the final or have battled through a lot of adversity, have to step up in that room. This is beyond the coach now. This is where the player really has to step up.
I think something you alluded to a couple of times leading up to this is Tampa Bay needs a moment tonight, whether it's in overtime or double overtime or whatever, similar to what Eller provided the Capitals in Columbus. They need a moment like that, right?
Yeah, that's a great point in Game 3. No, you're 100% right. That Game 3 goal in double overtime by Lars Eller swung the entire series and basically swung the Washington Capitals season. So you're not wrong on that. You're 100% right, and that's basically what they do need. I mean, there's no more messing around now. I think everybody knows they're not coming back from 0-3. I think everybody knows that. Not against this team. This team's all in. We talked about it. Didn't we, Mitch? We talked about just this is a different Capitals team. I think they just got tired of people kicking sand in their face. I really do. I think at some point they said enough. We're going to show everybody we're not gross underachievers. We're going to show everybody we're not soft. We're going to show everybody we're not chokers. And they're doing that. They are definitely doing it.
The reference points earlier that when you talked about how Tampa needs something like that to dig deep and find that, at what point would that come into play? Is it most useful if you have one before the game? Is it during an intermission? Is it in the heat of the moment? When is it most useful?
Well, you can't mess around to start the game here, Rod. I can tell you that. So it better be before the game starts, whether it's before the pregame skate or before the puck drop. But I've done so many games here, obviously, and this is a nasty place when these people are behind the team, and they're behind this team now. I can't say they were behind them before the playoffs started because they're used to President's Trophy teams that flare out in the playoffs, you know. But now all of a sudden they... They've got a team that's gotten to the conference final, and they feel good about this team. So if you're Tampa and you're not ready to play tonight, it's probably going to be a tough night. So it better take place before the opening puck drop.
It's hard to imagine Tampa looking listless again with their season on the line tonight. Looking forward to it. 8 o'clock start in Washington where Pierre is. Thanks as always. Enjoy. Wish we could see you guys. We'll talk about it tomorrow, Pierre. Thank you.
Nice to have Gallo back. Especially, are you suntan, Mitch Gallo?
Well, I think these guys can judge that.
Yeah,
better than
yeah, beautifully so. Unfortunately, yeah, he's got a glow about him. Actually, you know.
Uh oh, that can mean a lot of things. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.